Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Waiting a few more years before you have kids? Brace yourself for our next guest. An article in the New Republic that's getting a lot of buzz takes direct aim at having children after about the age of 35. It goes after everything in the life cycle of an older parent, from fertility problems to the greater risk of birth defects to the age your children are likely to be when you die. And she says it's bad for the country, too. We'll hear from the author and get your reactions now. She is New Republic science editor Judith Shulevitz. Judith, thanks for coming back on WNYC. Hello.
Thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure to come back.
And this is not a new topic, and not a new topic in the feminist era, but one of the newer things about it is the science on how much the risk of birth defects goes up based on the age of the father, one of the things in your article. Can you talk about that first?
Yes. I mean, that you're absolutely right. That is a new field of study. We've always known that there were certain things associated with older fathers, such as dwarfism, cleft palates, various sort of more obscure syndromes. But we're beginning to see links are beginning to be established between neurological disorders and older father sperm. And one of the reasons we can see these now is that there's a new way of thinking about genetics, and there are new, very powerful technologies that allow us to see genes and how they turn themselves on and off. So things, and the importance of that, the importance of what's called epigenetics or the science of gene expression, is that how genes get turned on and off really directs development throughout life, but, you know, most crucially in the womb. So if men are producing more mutations in their sperm, and if some of the technologies we're using are creating epigenetic effects, these may, in fact, be affecting our development, and it's looking as though they even affect brain architecture.
Another thing you write about in the article that, again, is not a new concern, but you cite new research, is the age your grown children are likely to be when you die and the psychological effects on them. But statistically speaking, this is not about dying when your kids are children. This is about whether they're in their 30s or their 40s, right?
Right. So you could say, oh, and I say this in the piece, oh, very humdrum, big deal. Well, not necessarily, because everything in life is being pushed later. So we now have this period in our lives that, you know, maybe, you know, 50 years ago we didn't really have, which is the 20s, in which we find ourselves, establish careers, and we mostly, you know, don't get married during that decade, or we get married late in that decade. And that's a period when people more and more need parental support, particularly in our terrible economy. So it might have real ramifications. And there is also psychological and sociological research that shows that the death of a parent when you're younger has more of a psychological impact, seems to be linked to worse health throughout life. For men, oddly enough, for sons, it seems to be linked to more drinking. So there are these links. This research is very new, and we're just starting to figure it out. But
people in their 30s are real grown-ups, right? And human beings died much younger for most of human history. So, I mean, our listeners shouldn't decide to rush into parenting in their 20s so they'll be alive when their adult child is 40, right?
No. I mean, I do think there are other reasons to think about it, which are the medical reasons that I've talked about. In the piece, what I talk about more is that it's not as if this is such a great tragedy for each one of us personally, but that we're changing the nature of our society, and it's going to have these changes, such as, for example, the change in the relationship between a grandparent and a grandchild, which is going to be altered as the generations lengthen. Another change.
You mean just by the greater age difference between grandchild and grandparent?
That's right. So that's something that's going to really alter the nature of
And why? Why do we care about that so much if your grandparent is 50 or 70?
We care about it for two reasons. One, I happen to, you know, feel very strongly that it's important to have strong relations among the three generations or four generations, because that is how cultural continuity is ensured. It's passing down these family traditions. Otherwise, each generation is sort of making it up for itself, and to me, that's kind of sad. And the second reason is because we older parents become part of what's called the sandwich generation, where and we've always been that. We've had kids, and we're dealing with our older parents. But now we're dealing with toddlers and, you know, parents well into their senescence. So, you know, we're dealing with sort of the extremes of human experience at the same time. And I think that's tough.
So that's one thing. And we'll open up the phones here in just a minute. I'm sure people are going to have a lot to say about this. But when you say your concern is not just for the individuals but for the effects on society, the article is titled How Older Parenthood Will Upend American Society. And another thing you mention is that people who start having children later in life wind up having fewer children, and that makes sense. But why is that bad in a world that has doubled in size probably in our own lifetimes from 3 billion to 6 billion people, and no one thinks it's sustainable environmentally for them all to have decent standards of living as it is?
Right. Well, actually, population is dropping worldwide.
The rate of growth is dropping, right?
Yes, that's right. The rate of growth is dropping. Absolutely right. The problem is that we are not replacing ourselves such that we can sort of sustain our workforce. So we're dropping, a lot of countries are dropping below replacement rate, which means more people are dying than are being born.
So the U.S., by the way, isn't. My understanding is we are still having two kids for every two adults in the United States, which they're not doing in much of Europe, not doing in Japan, and not doing in China.
I think that has to do with the diversity of our society. You have many different ethnic groups, you have many new immigrants, and you also have greater income inequality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sort of birth rates are higher among the lower and working classes and among new immigrants and in different ethnic groups. So,
but then what's the problem with replacement rate in this country?
Well, it's going to keep dropping, and the question is just how do we deal with this very top-heavy society? Who's going to take care of the older generation? Who is going to enter the workforce when they disappear? So there are costs. I also think you can solve your environmental costs your environmental problems in other ways than having fewer children, such as being less wasteful about the resources we use, such as coming up with new energy sources. You don't have to create a world in which people feel they have to wait to have their children for various social reasons and then not have enough children in order to deal with our environmental problems.
All right. My guest is Judith Shulevitz, science editor for The New Republic. Her article that's getting a lot of discussion is called How Older Parents Will Upend American Society. And listeners, we want to hear from you. If you became a parent in your, let's say, late 30s or 40s or even older, let's hear from you on the pros and cons that you've come to believe exist for your family and for society. Pros or cons or both. This doesn't have to be an either-or conversation. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. And if you are younger and so far childless, how are you deciding what age you want to start? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to our comments page on this, which I'm sure we'll get hopping at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Judith, fathers may contribute to the risk of birth defects as they age, as you described, but it's still women overwhelmingly who will pay the price for the things you're suggesting. They're still the ones who will get pregnant and leave the workforce and more likely to wind up on the mommy track. Many women have been waiting to have kids precisely so they don't have to make those career sacrifices before they can get their careers even off the ground. Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I entirely agree. But what I argue is that we've created a society in which that has to happen if you want to have a career. It is possible to imagine a world in which, for example, the sort of moments in a career in which you're most keenly tested happen later. It is possible to create a world in which it is possible for you to put your tenure clock or your partnership clock or whatever clock it is on hold so that you can have children when you're younger if you want to. We don't. The workforce, as it is currently constructed, is based on the idea that there's going to be one person working, usually the man, and one person staying home taking care of the kids, and there's no conflict. I mean, it's just, it's an unbearable conflict if you're trying to, you know, hold on to a job and move your way up into the higher earning bracket of that profession, and you're also trying to cope with, you know, little children at home. But not every society makes it such a stark choice. A lot of societies provide social supports, subsidized child care, generous paid parental leaves, guarantees of reentering, that you get to reenter the workforce at the level that you did.
So that has to be part of the package. If you're on a crusade to have people have children younger, part of it not has to be not just the warnings of the dangers for society of older parenting, but it's really got to be a crusade to get these parent-friendly policies more integrated into the workplace, right?
Absolutely. That's why I end my piece by saying we have to reframe this issue, the issue of child care and taking care of the children, not as a women's problem, but as a basic human right. And I think one of the social effects of the new findings about men may be that men begin to understand that they have an interest in making this happen, too. Because men, on the whole, have kept pace with women. As women age as mothers, men age as fathers. About a steady, they're steadily about 3 years older than their wives or partners. Mm-hmm. So it's their issue, too. It's their children, too. And if we begin to see that there are all these problems, which we're only beginning to understand because the science is so new, associated with older parenting, then perhaps men will get in on the act and will start to worry about these things too.
Jordana in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What are you thinking?
Well, this is really just touching a lot of issues in my life. I was 35 when I had my daughter, and I got terrified at the anatomy screening because they told me that she had a cyst on her brain. And my obstetrician told me later that it was because I was just turning 35 that the doctor even said that, because the risks go up. And if I was born 4 months older, earlier, I wouldn't have even been told that there was that risk. And then I just had my second child at 39, and my dad died 2 weeks after I had the baby, and my mother has cancer. So I'm dealing with losing both my parents and not mm-hmm. having my children, not having grandparents, and I'm only 40. So
are you wishing that you started younger?
I do, but I didn't meet my husband until I was 31. I went to graduate school. I was starting my career. And it's just a tough situation because then I had to stop. You know, you can't be a – I couldn't find that I'm a good parent to two kids and work full-time. So it's just – mm-hmm. it's a really tough situation. If I had my kids earlier, I wouldn't have a master's and I wouldn't have a career.
Jordana,
and I wouldn't have had the same kids because I wouldn't have had the husband.
Thank you very much. I think you articulate the conflictedness that a lot of people feel really well. Let's go on to Ben. Ben, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Brian. Glad to be here.
Thanks for calling.
My experience is quite different. I was married twice. I had two children by my first marriage, and then when I remarried, had another one when I was 45 years of age. And while I sort of intuitively understood that there were certain risks involved, the fact of the matter is that I brought to that second child, the third child, actually, a lot more wisdom and knowledge, and actually enjoyed the development of this child, and also felt that it was a very, very beneficial experience.
Yes, Ben, that's really interesting. I mean, Judith, Ben is sort of a one-person natural experiment because he had children younger and then he had a child older. But as a group, and I think you referenced this in your article, don't we find that the older parents – bring a certain more settled wisdom to the experience, whereas, you know, the much younger parents are really flying by the seat of their pants, don't know who they are barely, and, you know, are more likely to get into conflict with their kids as they age and things like that. There's a certain wisdom of experience that comes with an older parent.
Yes, and the studies show that that is true. They have more financial stability.
Yet another advantage.
Yeah, they do. And they're definitely more mature and probably more patient. One thing I would say is they're also probably less stressed because the 20s, you know, as Jordana said, are a very intense time when you're getting your higher education and you're moving into a career or a job. And let me just pause and say, it may sound like I'm only talking about the elite here, but the American dream is always about moving into the middle class. So we're talking about people who either are in the middle class or upper middle class or are trying to move into it, you know, so it's not just the wealthy that have to think about this or those who are lucky enough to have professions. But I think that we could alleviate that stress with some of the policies I talked about before. It's possible to create educational environments in which you can have children and you can move more slowly. It's possible to restructure careers so that you know, pauses can be taken. And I think you'd alleviate a lot of stress on parents that may contribute to their not being younger parents that may contribute to their not being the best parents they could have been. You know, the financial stability thing, it's important, but it's not, you know, indispensable. In the past, people had children when they were poor, and the children turned out okay, and they turned out okay. But, you know, it's a trade-off. I think that we're beginning to think about the trade-off in a better, more informed way, and perhaps we'll proceed more cautiously and have more information about some of the effects on the children of this trade-off.
Rebecca in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Judith Shulevitz from The New Republic. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
So you come at this as a child of older parents.
Yes, and I'm now an adult. I'm 28, and my mother had me when she was 36. I have two younger brothers, the youngest she had when she was 40. And I'm very happy that she decided to have a family, even, in her 30s. It was her second marriage, and I think because she was older and she has a wonderful marriage with my father, there's very loving parents, great parents. My youngest brother just had a child, so now she's also a grandparent. And I don't know, it makes me sad to see them, this kind of topic, reduced to such a, you know, statistical kind of thing, because it seems like the age of parents is shifting all the time. And so I don't understand why it's a bad thing that, you know, parents are becoming older. I think it's just a different thing.
Judith?
And I'm very grateful for my upbringing.
One thing I should say is the articles, a large part of the articles in the first person. So I was 39 when I had my first child, and I was 40 when I had my second, and I went through a limited amount of assisted reproductive technology to get there, fertility treatment to get there. I don't say this in the article, but I've said it in interviews since, which is that I met my husband when I was 34, and I would never want to be married to anyone other than the man I married. He's, you know, he was worth waiting for. But looking back, I see that there were all these sort of social norms and pressures on me that led me to wait, and life could have been different. I have a son with a very, very mild case of sensory integration disorder, and I say in the article that it wasn't really watching him go through what he went through because it was really mild. It was watching the other kids who came into the gym where he was getting treated, whose conditions were not so mild, that made me start on the path of researching this. My children are the joy of my life, and I would not have foregone the childbearing experience for anything, no matter what medical research I heard. So to me, it's not up to individuals to change society. It's about government and us collectively thinking about how to restructure careers and educational systems so that it's an easier choice. And I don't deny that anyone, mother or father, could have been better for being older. I suspect I am. But I think about this. I think the thing I was trying to do in this article is think collectively rather than individually and take the blame off individuals as well.
Rebecca, thank you for your call. And I guess we're going to leave it here. You've given people a lot to think about. And I guess the biggest question you want people to ask themselves is this bad for society?
Yes, that is the question. I want to create a world in which we have more choices, and including the choice to have children younger. When we're, for various reasons, I think there might be an argument to be made that there are ways in which we're better parents when we're younger. We have more energy. We have grandparents around and thriving. There are benefits to having children younger, too. There are benefits to having children older. But I want us to be smarter about making these decisions.
All right. Judith Shulevitz's article in The New Republic is How Older Parenthood Will Upend American Society, The Scary Consequences of the Grayest Generation. There's some conflictedness, a lot of pushback on our comments page. You can keep that conversation going, folks, and see what other people are writing at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. Judith, thanks for having some of the conversation here.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me on the show.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, radio rookie Danielle on being a teenage immigrant who lies to the folks back home about how things are going here in the States. We'll hear part of her radio rookie's piece and talk to Danielle. Stay with us. We'll be right back.